Welcome back. It's All Over Now by the Rolling Stones. Hit number one on this day in 1964. Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner right here on your source for cool jazz and more. WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. There's something some of us may have missed here in the Baltimore, D.C. listening area, which is the ouster of a police chief in Pocomoke City on the eastern shore of Maryland. And the ouster of a black police chief in that community that has caused a huge uproar. Chief Soul was a highly commended chief of police there. It's caused a huge ruckus. We're going to talk about what that is and what happened. We're here with Delegate Jill Carter, who's just arrived back from Pocomoke. Of course, she represents the 41st District here in Baltimore and was representing the Maryland State Legislators Black Caucus, there at the rally that was held last night. Stephen Janis is with us, investigative journalist of the Real News Network and co-author of You Can't Stop Murder, Truths About Policing in Baltimore and Beyond, and Why Do We Kill? The Pathology of Policing in Baltimore, with Kelvin Sewell, the chief who was dismissed, and Delegate Carter and Steve Janis. Welcome. Good to have you both here.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Good morning, Mark. How are you?
Good morning. I'm very well. 410-319-8888 is the number here. Write to us at talkatsteinershow.org. Tweet me at Mark Steiner, but please call in 410-319-8888. Let's get a little background. You just came back from Eastern Shore, Jill, right?
Yes.
So let's both of you, let me start with you. Give us a little background here, then we'll go to Steve Janis.
Well, first, let me say, as I don't spend a lot of time there, we look at some problems and some issues here, but that took me back to probably what is kind of a climate of 50s and 60s style, racism. I would have to say in Maryland. I'll let Stephen talk about it, but honestly, I was astounded by the fact that there were tons of people that were out in support of Chief Sewell, and they were addressing the mayor and city council at the city council hearing. And there was such a blatant and overt disregard for the people. There wasn't even kind of a pretext. It was kind of, this is the way that it is, and we don't really have to give you any explanation. Of course, it was a little bit more complex than that, and we can go into that. But, they gave reasons that Chief Sewell had filed, there was litigation pending. He'd filed an EOC complaint.
Right.
And he has a lawyer working on a federal case for him for discrimination, and they used that as a reason that they weren't able to discuss anything.
They always say that.
Right. But there was one city council person who did speak up. But, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves. So the bottom line is that there were five members on this city council in Pocomoke City. And the vote was taken in secret to oust Chief Sewell. And so the first question that was asked is, how did this come to be? What was the authority? And the mayor spoke and said, well, it was a decision of the council. But the decision of the council was not done in public. And so one of the issues there was that the public was outraged that it had, they hadn't been able to witness or weigh in this decision. And it was, completely talk about lack of transparency. But what I was most stunned by was the kind of the attitude, like, this is the way we do things. It was clear that there is a huge segment of people out there that don't have any real representation. And then the one woman on the city council that happens to be a black woman named Diane Downing, she is the only one who would speak about it. And the vote that she took, she was the only dissenting opinion. So she was the only opposition vote to Chief Sewell being fired. And she blatantly said that there was no justification. We didn't have any justification for this decision. So with that, I'll let Stephen weigh in. But I'll just tell you what I just really that it happens. But I felt it's difficult to really reconcile that Pocomoke City is a place in the state of progressive Maryland. Do you understand what I'm saying? Very, very strange.
And I'll get into some of the culture of that in a moment, because I think it's important to address. But Steve Janis, take us back a bit. You know Kelvin Sewell.
Mm-hmm.
You wrote a book with him. So talk a bit about the background here. Who is this man? What do you think happened?
Well, Kelvin, was a longtime veteran of the Baltimore City Police Department. He worked in narcotics. He worked in shootings. And finally, he worked in homicide, which is where I got to know him a little bit. He was a homicide detective in the Baltimore City Police Department for about 6 or 7 years when I started talking to him about the book. And one of the things, you know, that we talked a lot about was the apparent, and I think still apparent, failure of zero tolerance policing and the really aggressive policing that has occurred in Baltimore and continues to occur, and obviously was at the center of the controversy over the death of Freddie Gray in police custody. And we would have long conversations about that, and that became sort of part and parcel of the book, which was, you know, how do you confront violent crime and how do you confront, you know, some of these problems with crime in a way that is effective, just doesn't leave the community in a state of disrepair, which I think is arguably what has occurred in Baltimore. So during that period of time, he took a job in Pocomoke here, which is, you know, as Joe described, a small town with some serious racial divide. And I think it should be noted, the majority of the people that were out there to support Sewell were African-American.
Right.
I didn't see many white people there. But anyway, so, you know, he just decided when he came down here to try to see if there was a way to actually, you know, because Pocomoke had a drug problem, had multiple homicides. It wasn't like Baltimore, but it had 4 or 5 homicides a year, which is a lot for a town of 5,000 people. And, you know, he was like, Stephen, I'm going to try to come up with a way. I'm trying to try to come up with a way to you know, solve the crime problem or at least attack the crime problem without using the techniques or some of the things that have been espoused in Baltimore. I'm going to do it through community policing. Some of the stuff that people talk about that seems archaic or prosaic or whatever. But, you know, and he, it was evident being there, and I know I can't be completely objective because, you know, I've written a book with a man, but there were hundreds of people there. Well, no, and I want to make that clear. They were applauding when he came in, applauding. And the basic theme was that, you know, he didn't just come in and police. He became a member of the community. He made his police officers get out of the car, walk around. He made them engage with the residents. You know, there were people who were telling me stories about how the chief had taken people who were having problems and actually helped them get jobs. And this whole transformation or different way of doing policing, I think, is kind of interesting because it's sort of a narrative that applies to what we're dealing with today.
So what happened? Well, I'm curious. A couple of things I want to get to with this. Now Kelvin Sewell went down there. I know Pocomoke City. They call themselves the friendliest town on the Eastern Shore. His name is what they call themselves. But this was revolved around the Chief Sewell's refusing to fire 2 black officers, Franklin Savage and Lieutenant Linnell Green. What's the story behind this? Because we've only seen the surface. Well, do either one of you know what the story is behind that?
Steven?
I do know. Yeah, they both these. So the officers that you discussed, they filed an EOC complaint. Both filed EOC complaints alleging discrimination, that they were subject to discrimination and harassment in a task force, a joint task force with I think the county sheriff here and the state's attorney's office, and they had filed. Both have filed separate EEOC complaints, also about not getting raises and a bunch of other things that were supposedly being given, that supposedly they were due. And that EEOC complaint prompted the mayor to ask Kelvin to fire these 2 officers. And Kelvin said he could not do it because, number one, he wouldn't, but number 2, it was illegal. And I think that's what precipitated. The next day they had a council meeting on Monday, 2 weeks ago, where he was fired by a vote of the council and the mayor. So I think, you know, at the crux is that. I spoke to Kelvin today, and he also said there's been some questions about spending on a federal grant that was supposed to fund a new police position, a 17th officer, but was instead spent on an existing officer, and that's now under investigation. So those 2 flashpoints, I think, are at the heart of what his lawyers are now saying was the reason he was fired.
So, I mean, it's, you know, what you said earlier, this is an important thing for us to realize here. I mean, I spent a lot of time in the last few years on the Eastern Shore for our Soundbites series on food and farming. I spent a lot of time on the Eastern Shore as a really, 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 really young guy when I was working with Gloria Richardson and the Cambridge Nonviolent Action Committee during the Civil Rights Movement and getting arrested in Cambridge, Maryland back in the early 60s. So I remember the Eastern Shore well and was beaten up pretty badly by the police when I was there. So, I mean, I have a lot of memories of the Eastern Shore and the senses of that place. One of the things you alluded to here, Jill, I think that's important to kind of wrestle with is, you know, I thought about, I've been back to Mississippi and I've been to Georgia and other places in the South. And there are certain advancements that have taken place in the South around black people's voting rights and being fought again, but I mean black elected officials and black businesses growing and things happening in the South that never happened 50 years ago. But there's something's happening in the Eastern Shore. It's almost like in some places it hasn't progressed, like it hasn't moved into the 20th century, let alone the 21st century. I mean, Pocomoke City, I mean, there are places in the Eastern Shore where there are majority black people living in a community that have no representation on any legislative bodies. I mean, that, and this to me is part and parcel of what's happening here.
It's absolutely what's happening, and it's interesting because part of the issue that was argued by the two ministers that you know led sort of the opposition to the firing of Chief Sewell last night, that's really spoke on behalf of many of the people. One of the things that they argued was that technically the city charter says that only a city manager can fire the chief.
Uh-huh.
And so that was a technical argument. And it did say that in the charter from what they showed me. But the point is, I don't know legally how that's going to pan out. But here's the issue. The response of the mayor and council was basically, well, you know, regardless of whatever you think you see in the charter, we're telling you we did this right. Do you know what I'm saying? And then there was some discussion about when the city manager had left and how it was done. And then the second issue that was raised was on behalf of and Stephen, you may have more insight in this. I don't know if you do or not, because it wasn't the reason we were there, but it was kind of an issue that was they brought up along with this about their voting rights. And I remember that the reverend.
Yeah, are you talking about the council member who was appointed without proper notification?
Yes, and they were saying that a candidate of their choosing had mm-hmm. filed all of the procedures, and they had all the documentation that the candidate of their choosing, the people's choosing, had filed all the procedures to be a write-in candidate. And I remember that the mayor specifically said, well, we've never had any write-in candidates here. As if that was the answer to why it was justified that candidate wasn't placed on the ballot.
Well, and it should be noted that was in a majority black district in the city.
Yes.
Right.
So it effectively, you know, appointed, made the council majority white and precluded any candidates being running for that particular district. So I think it had, you know, the argument was it had a major impact, not just on the representation, but on, you know, Chief Sewell's firing. But, you know, Mark, I will agree with you because, you know, just attending this, I mean, it was literally almost 100% African-American. You know, the argument about the council, about the vote, you know, the lack of representation. And then they kicked the media out and they wouldn't let the media.
That's crazy.
Cover. I felt like, what are you talking about? Is this modern America where media can't cover a council meeting? Now, of course, I'm going to file an Open Meetings Act complaint because I think it was
good
illegal.
For you. Good.
Well, not only that it was announced at the beginning that no one that was in attendance could use a camera or a cell phone, and cell phones should be turned off. So, you know, they were really making clear that there wouldn't be any opportunity for anyone to kind of relate what was going on.
So let me ask you this quick before we run out of time here. Because, I mean, Pocomoke City is a city that's almost, I don't know the exact stats, but it's pretty much 50-50 black and white.
Mm-hmm.
They have how many black council people? How many white?
One
black council person, mm-hmm. right? And that's
pretty
the way.
It's 50-50.
Huh?
It's 50-50 pretty much population. Yeah,
right. That's what I'm saying. So, but so this is typical of the Eastern Shore, where towns, where black people are denied actual equal political participation. And
Come over here.
So let me ask you first, Joel, and then I'm going to ask Kevin a question about the Stephen a question about the changes in the city since he became police commissioner. But what can be done about that? I mean, how can you have a whole section of Maryland where African American voters are more disenfranchised than they might even be in North Carolina and Mississippi?
Well, I guess that's an issue when we go back to the table with redistricting. But I also felt a sense last night when I was there that this huge population of people does not have representation. They certainly have none in the state legislature.
None. One black person from the Eastern Shore? Am I right? One, maybe two? I don't know.
Yeah, there was always the Rudy Kane.
Right.
And then he's gone, and now there's another one also from Eastern Shore. But, you know, it's really And then once you're kind of there, you get swallowed up in Democrat, Republican. And frankly, when you're Eastern Shore, you're kind of on that line because there's so many conservatives there. So, but the thing is, I think that what I realized is that it was really, and Stephen, I don't know if you caught this, but there was great pride when the Reverend announced that they were supported and represented there tonight by a member of the Maryland Legislative Black Caucus. It meant something to them. Like, we sort of take it for granted, like, oh, the Black Caucus weighed in. But they were – I felt they had great pride that they were able to connect with and collaborate with the Maryland Legislative Black Caucus. It meant something. And so what I felt is that, hey, what we need to do is step in and help represent people and support their needs down there until they get representation, because we're essentially all that they have.
Sorry, Mark, do you want me?
You can jump in on that too, but as you do, I mean, what I read and looked in the Delmarva Now, which is an online news organization on the Eastern Shore, that one of the things commented there by people was that under Chief Soul, that crime has gone down, murders have gone down.
No murders. Mm-hmm.
No
since
murders. No murders since he's been there. And that he's dealing with the drug issue in ways that are very creative and new and changing that. And they fired him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, it kind of calls into question the whole idea of policing and policing through a prism of race, because, you know, he kind of did the opposite of what white elected leaders like Martin O'Malley did in Baltimore, which was to aggressively pursue, you know, policing at all costs. In black communities, where Kelvin Toole comes, he's an African American police chief. He comes in and he takes a wholly different approach, you know, community policing approach, and it's extremely effective. So here you have, in a city like Kokomo, a microcosm for the macrocosm problem, that when you have, you know, white political structure enforcing really heavy-handed policing tactics, it doesn't work. It hasn't worked in Baltimore, where we have a war room now in Baltimore. So it shows you two things, you know, that policing is racialized and it's ineffective when it is. And secondly, you know, and Mark, just to get back to your point, you know, I think the key is, you know, you had 100 or 100, I don't know, a huge percentage of the town sitting there for hours. So, I mean, I think the people who, you know, this community has to continue to put pressure. And I think they were saying there was a lot of discussion, you know, there's going to be consequences in election, and a lot of people in the crowd were saying, you know, we're going to come back and we're going to change this through election. I think that's the only thing that can work. I mean, obviously the council sort of preempted that, but I mean, I think the people are energized.
Absolutely. I'm predicting a Pocomoke City uprising. One of the things that was very touching and compelling to me too was that person after person testified, and at the very end there was a young man who said that it was Kelvin Soule who inspired him to stay in college.
I saw that. I saw him on the tape from Delmarva Now, right.
And that, you know, the impact that he had had.
Right.
And what impressed me or struck me particularly was that he grew up in Pocomoke City, and he said that in the past he couldn't walk to the store because without his grandmother being concerned whether he would make it back. Someone debated with me. They were unclear about whether he was saying because of crime from the streets or crime from or being harassed by the police. I got the impression that he was saying the latter. But, you know, either way, he was saying that ever since Kelvin Soule, he can now walk to the store without his grandmother being worried about whether he's going to make it home. That was very significant.
We're going to follow this story and see what happens and try to talk to Commissioner Soule as well. Chief Soule, I should say, Kelvin Soule, who had...
Yeah, I'm going to see him in about a couple minutes, so I'll let him know you'd like to talk to him.
Yes, absolutely want to talk to him.
And I'll work on that for you.
I appreciate that. That's Stephen Janis.
Yeah, no problem.
Investigative journalist for the Real News Network, and of course you wrote a book with Kelvin Soule, The Pathology of Policing in Baltimore, as well as You Can't Stop Murder, The Truths About Policing in Baltimore and Beyond. And we're joined here also by Delegate Jill Carter, who represented the Legislative Black Caucus in Pocomoke City, as the people who are not represented as black people in that community were standing up to say, do not fire this black police commissioner, who has changed the nature of life in our community. So I want to thank Delegate Jill Carter, represents our 44th district here in Baltimore City, and Steve Janis, investigative journalist for Real News Network, for being here and doing the work you both do. Thank you.
Yeah, and Matt, Mark, thanks for doing something on this issue, because, you know, I know it's in a small town, but it's important. So
it is important, and also I think that we have to call out the kind of blatant racism that rules mm-hmm. in part of our state and has to end. It's right in our midst. Yeah. We can't continue to let it happen. And I'm glad you all
Thank
are
you.
On it. Thank you both so much.
Thanks. Okay.
Thank you.
We're going to take a very brief break, and when we come back, we are going to switch gears here and talk about women in sports, and not just the World Cup, but what is up with all these crazy people talking about Serena Williams. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Addicted to the drama, only attracted to things that'll bring the trauma. Overseas, yeah, we trying to stop terrorism, but we still got terrorists here living in the USA, the big CIA, the blood and the